Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. It used to be that if you wanted to listen to music, you'd need to tune into your favourite radio station, buy a cassette tape, or invest in shiny black vinyl records and albums. Am I showing my age here a bit? I suppose I am. I remember how proud I was of my vinyl albums. I'd wait until there was a sale on at my local music shop, and then I'd be down there, cash in hand, thumbing through the albums on sale and hoping I might find one that would be the perfect addition to my smallish collection. In case you haven't used a vinyl record, it's so different in every way to opening up YouTube or tuning into Spotify and simply typing into a search engine what you wanted to listen to. Nope, that's not how it was. It was a lesson in patience back then, much before technology came along and sorted it all out and made so much available at a touch of a button or a sweep of a fingertip. Back then, it was quite the thing to listen to your own collection of music, but it was also quite the process. First, you needed a record player, which was made up of several parts that all worked together. There was a turntable, of course, which was a flat, round platform that you'd place the vinyl record on. And this turntable would keep the record flat and spin it around at exactly the right speed, 33 revolutions per minute, 45, even 78 RPM. The record player also had an arm just to the side of this turntable, and at the end of the arm was a tiny needle called a stylus, and the arm would hold the stylus and the stylus would touch the vinyl album. The music itself was kind of etched into the vinyl in a long spiral line. The spiral started at the outer edge of the record and then it spiraled around and around the record until it ended at more or less the middle of it. And each song was literally carved into the black vinyl as microscopic bumps and dips all the way along this long winding groove. And as the record spun, this little stylus needle would enter that spiral and it would follow the spiral groove. And the microscopic bumps and variations in that groove, they'd create vibrations that somehow became music broadcast through your speakers. You tended only to have one album of a particular kind, so it was important to look after them. They were quite expensive too. Although you rarely bought new albums, you would certainly replace the stylus regularly though. And if you were lucky enough, you might at some stage upgrade your existing record player to a sound system. But that's another story. You had to be incredibly careful with the surface of these records. They were fairly expensive to buy and they could be damaged really easily. I mean, for example, if you dropped one, they would quite likely shatter or a bit of them would break away. And you couldn't get fingerprints on the album surface. You had to keep dust off that surface as well and make absolutely sure that the surface never, ever, ever got a scratch. The grooves, you see, were so fine and so delicate on the surface of the vinyl that any damage was irreversible. It was permanent. You even had a cloth to wipe the record surface with before you put it back into its sleeve, then back into its album cover, and then away in a special album-sized storage box. But once the surface had got damaged, the music was forever changed. Small scratches would produce crackles in the background sound throughout the entire song, so as it played, you'd hear the music, but there was this kind of crackly background at the same time. Worse still, if the scratch, if it was a scratch, was singular and deep enough, that tiny pin-like stylus would hit the damage and it would suddenly jump backwards again, returning to the start of the scratch. And this meant that the stylus would get stuck and replay, get stuck and replay, jumping back, moving forward, jumping back, moving forward, and just play the same portion of the song over and over again. The same few seconds would loop endlessly until you got so tired of it that you'd physically lift the needle and move the arm past the damaged area. And there was something almost heartbreaking when a favourite song suddenly ended up getting a scratch across it. And with wear and tear, of course, it would do. We used to listen to those same records time and time again. But when there was one of these sticky loops in your favourite song, you simply wouldn't be able to enjoy it in the same way again. And unable to progress to the next verse or the next chorus, it was very frustrating for you, and you'd be trapped in endless repetition by something as simple as this little scratch that you couldn't see or you didn't mean to create or that couldn't be repaired. And as I said before, once damaged, the song, maybe the entire album, could be ruined. Imagine placing a favourite record on your turntable, settling back to enjoy the music of your choice, only to hear that familiar, frustrating sound of a scratch, scratching in the background, causing the needle to move and jump back and replay the same seconds over and over again. The music becomes trapped in an endless loop when there's a scratch like this. It's unable to progress to the next verse simply because the stylus gets stuck. The next movement, the natural flow of the composition, everything is affected. And this mechanical repetition continues until, as I said before, you either lift the stylus and move it past the damaged area, or basically lift the stylus and choose a different record. And the next time there's a sale on, perhaps if you're lucky and you can find that particular record, you can replace it entirely. I think this is, for me, the perfect way to understand what I call an energetic tick, a tick in the frequencies in your energy field. It's a disruption in your energy system that creates repetitive patterns, loops of experience, things that keep your little self as a stylus stuck in exactly the same emotional, physical, spiritual responses, just unable to move forward in the way that's intended. Just as a scratch on a vinyl record creates a weakness in the playing surface of the record, an energetic tick in any part of your energy field is going to create a point of disruption within it. When a travelling vibration encounters this tick, it cannot flow smoothly past it. Instead, just like with that little stylus, it gets caught in the same repeating, looping pattern, triggering the same responses, creating the same outcomes, until we either choose to address the underlying disruption or create an entirely new pathway around it instead. Energy tics are typically formed during moments of trauma, profound shock, intense emotion, significant life transitions. Think of them as scratches on that record. Areas of that what should be smooth surface have been damaged in a way that permanently leaves its mark and affects how the beautiful orchestrated energy music now can or cannot play. And perhaps the scratch makes the music skip slightly. Perhaps it changes the sound altogether. Perhaps there's just that background noise that distorts or makes it more difficult for you to access the actual purity of the sound that is intended to be in your energy field. Maybe the stylus gets completely stuck, or it keeps jumping back to replay and replay the same section again and again and again in your energy field. The challenge with these energy tics lies in their persistent nature, just like a scratch on a vinyl record, and like a conscious thought pattern that we might recognise and then choose to change. Energy tics operate at a much more fundamental level. They become embedded in the very fabric of our energetic structures, and they create automatic responses that bypass all kinds of conscious awareness. You know that feeling when you keep finding yourself in the same situation over and over again? Maybe it's always ending up with the same type of partner who in some way you feel disappoints you, or repeatedly hitting that same financial struggle, or constantly feeling at work like there is a glass ceiling. Or maybe you feel overwhelmed in social situations. It's as if something keeps pulling you back to replay the same experience, even when you consciously want something quite different. This is what happens when there's a tick in your energy field. When there's a tick, a kind of energetic scratch, your energy hits that point and bounces itself back, creating the same loop, the same pattern, the same response, that same portion of the song. And until that tick gets completely smoothed out, or you create a completely new pathway around it, you'll keep experiencing that same pattern, often wondering why you can't seem to break free from it. The thing about these energy tics is that they create both a repetitive pattern and a weakness in your energetic structure at the same time. Just like a scratch makes that part of the record more vulnerable to further damage, an energetic tic creates a sensitive spot in your energetic landscape. And that means it gets more and more easily triggered, and it keeps the same loops running.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Energy tics can appear in different parts of your energetic anatomy, and where they're located affects how they show up in your daily experience. When there's a tic in your main incarnational channel, the channel of sound and light frequencies that is your entry and exit point from your incarnated state of being, it affects how you fully present yourself, how you fully present who you are in your physical body, and also how you navigate and enjoy this lifetime. And you might feel like you're not quite in your body, not quite here in some ways, disassociated, or it's very, very easy for you to suddenly bounce out of your body. You won't feel fully grounded. It's like a part of you is somewhere else. And that's actually because that's what happens. The energy moves down this beautiful energetic channel, this incarnational channel, and it hits a tick. And so what happens is that bit of the tick almost gets flung back, sent back to the beginning. And so there's a part of you that's trying to incarnate again and again. Or it could be that there's a little bit of background noise, that kind of white noise that sits at the back. And so though you're very aware that perhaps you have a purpose and you're making choices that you feel are aligned and that you're trying to integrate body, mind and spirit, that there's always something distracting you, that you can't quite harness every single aspect. The energy's looping. The scratches are there. Your auric field is incredibly sensory. This is quite a different energy field that I'm now talking about. And it's how you feel and process the energetic information around you. These are your main senses, I would say. They're also your extended senses. And a tick in any part of the energy field here affects the surface layers, in my observation, of the auric field the most. These surfaces, they ought to be smooth and slippy, very like the look of a perfect black vinyl record. But once there's a scratch on it, it starts to weaken the surface layer of the auric field. And it leaves that particular layer of the auric field really open to accumulating more scratches. Or even because it's a scratch, it can open up further and it can become a tear. And this affects the egg-shaped structure of the auric field and its layers. They weaken. Sometimes you can feel a bit droopy. I've seen it where the auric field has finally, after there have been so many scratches on it, there is a tear that occurs and the auric field quite literally collapses and comes down. So when the auric field has scratches, it always feels like there is something wrong, even when you're unsure about what that might be. And when there's a tear in the vital energies here that this particular energy field requires, you'll know it because those energies will simply leak away. You'll feel hypersensitive, you'll be prone to being emotionally drained unexpectedly. When there's a tick here, you might find yourself unusually sensitive to certain environments, smells, tastes, people, sound, situations. It depends where those scratches or where that tear is, which layer of your auric field that the scratch is actually in. So let's say if you were to say the sensitivity depends on the which of the 12 layers of your auric field that contains that tick. It could be in layer 3, which is always about limiting beliefs. Or it could be layer 6, for example, which is always about making choices and acting upon those. Each of the different layers has a different meaning. So you can see how a scratch in any or more than one of those layers can be quite profound for you. Let's move on again now to a different energy field. Let's have a look at your electromagnetic field. Now, whereas your auric field is very involved in the senses, your electromagnetic field, which is a toral donut-shaped field, is quite different. This field governs how safe, how supported you feel by life itself. It's your sense of whether the universe is fundamentally kind and benevolent and generous, or whether it's just plain threatening on some level. So a tick here can really affect it. The part that it affects the most is there's like a little central axis in the center of the electromagnetic field. And so that axis, when it's knocked out of its stabilizing natural position, can create one of those ticks. The tick changes that natural location and angle. And when this happens, it means that your electromagnetic field, the center of it, is out of whack. So, for example, depending when I look in somebody's energy field, if I look at their electromagnetic field and I then go and have a look at this stabilizing axis, I like to look at the direction it's pointing in, especially at the rear of the person's torso rather than at the front of the person's torso, where most often you will find this central axis. Depending on where it's pointing at the back, if it's absolutely balanced and fine, then I know that this person has stability, that they may have times where they feel the universe is fundamentally benevolent, and other times when, yes, it's threatening, but there's not been anything overwhelming for them. But when I trace this particular axis, depending on the direction it's pointing in, so the region, let's say, of the back of the person that it points at, it tells me what causes the tick. So, for example, you might find that this axis has tilted and it's pointing to an area that implies shock. For example, something really unexpected happened that was particularly overwhelming for the person. What if it was created by a major life change, like a divorce or a job loss? Then it points to a location on the back that I have mapped to indicate a status change, a profound status change. But it's not only divorces and job losses. It can be something like, for example, being born into a very wealthy family and the family losing its money. Or it could be that you were born in a country that spoke English, and then suddenly you were moved to a completely different country and you found you had a brand new language and a whole set of new customs to learn. It's how safe you feel in your world, whether or not you feel that there's stability in it. And you can go right the way around the torso. There's other things as well as shock and stress and status change. There's PTSD, not that I'm in a position to diagnose it, but if I see that axis tilted and pointing into that particular region, then I know that person's certainly been through a lot. And it can even indicate things in a different location where that person feels pointless, that they feel that their life simply does not have enough richness and meaning, that they don't get back all that they put into it. That can lead to semi-suicidal thoughts as well. I mean, all of these create different kinds of ticks, but each tick shifts your central axis in the electromagnetic field away from its natural position, and it leaves you feeling fundamentally unsafe and unsupported by life. Let's take a look at your chakras. Chakra ticks interrupt the natural relationship and flow of energy, and that energy is meant to flow really and move smoothly between the different chakra wheels so that the chakras can spin, and their spinning motion can then send that energy and around and keep it on the move. That's a very simplistic way of explaining it, but that's the way I'm explaining it today. So let's say you have a tick in your sacral chakra. This might disconnect or limit the energy flow both up and down your main energy channels. So if we were to just very quickly take a quick look at the chakras, we've got the root chakra at the top of the legs, then the sacral, then it's the solar plexus, then it's the heart, the higher heart, up to the throat area where the throat chakra is, then you've got your third eye at the front of your temples, and right at the top of your head, you've got your crown chakra. If there's a disconnection, let's say, at the sacral, which is, I suppose, the area just below your tummy button, then what kind of loop could that set up? So instead of having one continuous flow from root chakra to crown chakra, you might end up with smaller, more isolated loops, perhaps a root sacral loop. So it goes root sacral, and then it bounces back to the root, and then it goes up to the sacral again, and down to the root and up to the sacral, and it loops. But that's completely disconnecting then any energy from a solar plexus to crown loop. And so you end up with two loops where there should be one long energy line. This kind of thing I see as a fragmentation. So it means different parts of your chakra systems aren't really communicating with each other in the way that they're designed to. And you might find your practical, grounded energy isn't connecting with your heart and higher wisdom energy, or your creative and sexual energy isn't integrating with your spiritual awareness. And so that's just an example of a tick in the chakras. I think also, if we then go to the soft tissue area in the bottom of your feet, you've actually got chakras in the soles of your feet. And these chakras manage a really vital, dynamic, energetic exchange. So stagnant, old energy is flushed out of the energy field and goes out through the chakras in the soles of your feet and into the planet. And there's a vital, dynamic exchange where in response, the earth then gives you much more vibrant, clean energy, and that goes back into the energy fields. It's a wonderful, perfect system. Stagnant and heavy energies then actually flow down and out through these little energy centers. Fresh, vibrant energy from the planet flows up into your systems again. It's like having a natural recycling system energetically that keeps your energy field clear and recharged. What if there was a tick in one of the feet chakras? And this exchange then becomes interrupted, and your energy field, rather than it being able to discharge all of those old stagnating energies, starts to swell up. It fills up like a smoky room and can't clear itself. You might end up with that kind of loop where stagnant energy simply can't leave your energy field, and it ends up being stored in the energy fields like the auric field. And eventually, if it can't be shifted out, well, it can't risk the energy fields by being in circulation. It has to end up being stored somewhere. And what I've observed is that the energy, if it's unable, stagnant energy that's likely to destabilize energy fields can't leave the energy field. Eventually, it just ends up being stored in the denser physical structures, particularly the bones of the spine, the vertebrae, particularly the teeth, particularly the jaw. So the fresh planetary energy is desperately trying to enter your energy field. But because there's a tick, it keeps looping back to the earth instead of recharging your system. You can see how this works. Either way, you end up feeling energetically stagnant, a little bit heavy, very depleted, and you probably won't understand why. Let's also have a look at the manifestation field. Here, I think, is where the vinyl record metaphor really becomes particularly relevant, but it's not the only place it's relevant. Your manifestation field is where abundance, resources, right time, right place connections are activated, opportunities happen, and your desired experiences are meant to flow. And they're meant to flow from the quantum into your third dimensional reality here. It's the energetic machine, really, that births what's destined to be yours into your incarnation. And you'll have been fully resourced before you even arrived in the human body that you occupy. And so everything that you desire, everything that you might need for a successful incarnation, is actually in your manifestation field. But when there's a tick in the field, it's just like having a scratch on that record. The abundance tries to come through to you, and when it hits the tick, it gets interrupted, even rejected, just as it's trying to birth into your physical experience. How frustrating. If that scratch distorts the vibrational sound as well, remember that white noise in the background, then you could end up with something that's not entirely what you'd hoped for or that you were intended to receive. Perhaps there is a tick that means that you get the same thing over and over again, even though it's really not what you wanted to receive at all. And these ticks, beyond the manifestation field and chakras and electromagnetic field and auric field, these ticks can travel through the ancestral lineages. It can be in your family lines. The ticks can be in the energetic aspects of the DNA and the histories. And they can also affect you from within different incarnational timelines, like unresolved past life experiences that are still active in some way, entrenched in your energy field and reaching through the centuries into this current lifetime to be resolved, because it's an eternal tick.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What makes energy ticks particularly challenging is their persistence. Think back to that vinyl record that has a scratch in it, that scratch that can't be remedied very easily. So these energy ticks, they don't simply fade with time or with positive thinking. It's actually quite difficult to sort of smooth them down easily. Once formed, they become part of your energetic structure, and they create automatic responses that happen below the level of conscious awareness. You might know intelligently that you want different outcomes, but the tick keeps pulling your energy back into the same familiar loop. This is why you can do all the right things for a very long time. It can be therapy, affirmations, lifestyle changes, and yet you still find yourself in similar situations. The conscious mind might be completely on board with the change, but if there's an energetic tick that's running a different kind of program, the tick, in my opinion, usually wins out. It's operating, you see, at a much more deep, fundamental level than thought or intention can reach and remedy. So the first step in working with energy ticks is actually, I think, to recognise when you've got one, especially if it's one of these ticking loops. Often the clue is the repetitive nature of your experiences. So if you keep finding yourself in variations of the same scenario, even if it's years apart, feeling the same frustrating emotions, hitting the same obstacles despite the work, the effort that you're putting in to change things, then I imagine that's an energetic tick that's involved. And sometimes it'll be really obvious that there's a loop, like repeatedly attracting unavailable partners or running out of money just when your situation ought to be improving. And other times the pattern is really more subtle. You might notice you always feel anxious in certain types of social situations, but you can't quite put your finger on what it is that makes you feel anxious. Or you might look at your work and consistently undervalue it, even though it does have value. Or you might feel that opportunities always just seem to slip through your fingers and you don't quite understand why. There's a lot of questions when it's a loop that happens like that. But I think the key, first and foremost, is noticing that there could be a repetitive quality in some of the things that are happening, rather than just focusing on the specific content or focusing endlessly on trying to correct yourself, when perhaps what you need to do is just first and foremost break it down into its component parts and say, okay, if I was that vinyl record with my beautiful black shiny surface, are there any scratches there? Are there any major tears from traumas, etc.? And could any of those have created an energetic tick? And is this energetic tick, does this feel emotional? That might point to it being in the auric field. And if the energetic tick just makes me feel fearful and threatened all the time, I wonder if that could be in your electromagnetic field. And if you feel like you're always hitting a glass ceiling, or money that, for example, is supposed to come to you never quite reaches you, I wonder if that could be in your manifestation field. And maybe if you feel that you're truly bedded into yourself and then suddenly you're completely off planet, perhaps the tick might be in your incarnation apparatus. And if you have no idea at all where it's coming from, then it's more likely to be something that has come down to you through the ancestral lineage or it can be something where a past life, or indeed a future life, is somehow affecting you now. The key is noticing that it's there, noticing the repetitive quality. And then, rather than focusing on the content, because that can often be different each time it happens, yeah, notice the repetitive quality and then see how it feels, because that can often give you an indication of which energy field or fields that that little tick might be in. I think beyond creating those frustrating loops, energy ticks also create points of weakness generally in the energetic structure. And these are areas that remain sensitive and are easily triggered even after you've done considerable healing work in other areas. You might feel strong and resilient in most aspects of your life. In other words, your energetic shielding is really effective. But when something touches that tick point, you suddenly find yourself reacting in ways that seem disproportionate, maybe to the situation. Maybe you trigger, maybe you implode. Your shields go a bit haywire. It's simply the nature of how energy ticks function in the energy field. They create lasting sensitivity in the same way that a previously healed bone feels that if it's been broken, it often remains, oh, just that little bit of vulnerability in there. Maybe the weather might change and that bone, it just feels a bit more sensitive. Or if you've had to stress it, maybe, for example, you had an issue with your elbow and after you've been carrying a few heavy bags, you find the next day that elbow feels a bit stressed. It works in the same way. I think that understanding this is my purpose today, helping you to be not only more compassionate with yourself when these sensitive spots get triggered, and certainly not judging yourself for having a strong reaction when you do, but really it's about recognizing that you've observed and witnessed an energy tick, and that although you are responding to that tick, now that you know the tick is there, you might be able to do something about it. So how do you move forward once you get to that point? I think just as there are two main solutions for a scratched record, you know, either replacing the record or somehow managing to bridge over the scratch. Well, there are a number of primary approaches I would have as an energy therapist to working with energy ticks, apart from the fact that I need to scan your energy field, perhaps listen to some of the accounts that you might want to share with me, though that's not absolutely necessary. But looking at the energy field, you can work out where those ticks are. And as you approach that energetic strand, because usually the tick sits on one of the strands in the energy field, you can either try and smooth out the existing tick, and that's pretty effective if you know how to do that. And that will heal and integrate the energy pattern so that it no longer creates a loop. At least you can do that in an energy field, whereas you might not be able to do that with a vinyl record. Another way, and a way that I used to use quite regularly when I was working in Glastonbury, was rather than try and fix something that was a bit broken, that energetic strand, I just created an entirely new energetic pathway. So either it was a new energetic pathway that would completely bypass the tick altogether. That doesn't mean to say we're not working on the origin of the tick. We're not sort of brushing that under the carpet without mixing my metaphors. What we're saying is, in order for you to be able to work on that tick, what we need to do first is to bypass it energetically so that you can feel as if you're moving forward. And then you can remove the old energetic strand if you want to, at which you can be at a point of choice. So you can either create a new energetic pathway, remove the old tick-based energetic strand and put a new one in its place, Or I suppose, if you prefer, you don't have to bypass it at all. I've worked this way as well. You'd simply take out the old strand and put a brand new one in there. Job done. A shiny new perfect one. So both approaches have their place, and often the most effective healing involves some elements of both, I would say. This is string work. So if we stay on the music theme, if you had a guitar and there was a string that was starting to not quite sound right, well, what you can do is you can either choose not to pluck that string during the song that you're playing, or you can actually take a pause, take the old string away and put a brand new one in, and then balance it with all the other strands and strings that are around it. I think the important thing is to recognise that energy ticks require energetic solutions. It's not that understanding them intellectually isn't helpful. It is, but resolving these ticks requires working directly with the energetic patterns themselves. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. So when you begin to see reoccurring challenges through the lens of energy ticks, it can actually bring you a huge sense of relief, because you'll have done a lot of work on this, I'm sure, and you might be saying, but I've worked on this, I don't understand how it's coming back. I would put money on it, if I was a betting woman, which I'm not, but I would put money on it that actually you've probably got one of these ticks somewhere in your energy field. And although those patterns could seem mysterious, they're certainly going to be frustrating, they will begin to make sense. And when things make sense, you start to become empowered and you're able to take more control over it. You're not broken, you haven't lacked the willpower, you certainly haven't not done the work. It's about a permanent energetic loop. And so you need to deal with an energetic structure in an energetic way. The loops can be resolved. I resolve them with my future self energetics work all the time. I wish I could have done that kind of thing with my albums, because I had some real favourites that unfortunately, through wear and tear, and it certainly wasn't through negligence, they just got scratched and they did get old. The weakness in your energy field can be addressed if you know what you're doing. And like the scratched record, all it requires is the right kind of intervention at the right level. Understanding that you are dealing with an energy tick, though, is the first step forward, because that way you're going to find your way out of any loops and back into the natural flow of your own life's music. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetics show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can up-level any part of your life.